Hi, I'm Lisa Givens from Assistive Technology Services in Fairfax County, and I love the AT Tips Cast.
Very good.
Welcome to the AT Tips Cast, exploring and investigating the implementation of assistive technology in public schools. I'm your host, Chris Bouguet. This is episode number 43, recorded on November 12th, 2009. Let's get right into the feedback. Just like last time, I'm only going to use first names. Carrie writes, I've heard about the whole audio-visual thing. I think there's a place in Washington that offers it as a therapy. If it were my child and they didn't mind wearing the gear and didn't have a seizure disorder, I would totally try it. It's just a sensory drug, I suppose. If the therapeutic listening program works for some, why not this? Carrie is referring to AT tip number 40 in episode number 29 about audio-visual entrainment. Carrie, you summarize my thoughts on this exactly. Another David, not the same David who was mentioned in the last listener feedback episode, but a different David, wrote in asking if I knew any free computer software that provides visual and auditory feedback. He specifically mentioned that buying a program was not an option. He said that he had a student with a hearing impairment and would like to try out a program where the student speaks into the computer mic and the computer provides some sort of visual representation for feedback, something like correct production versus misarticulation. I suggested that he try Audacity here, which is described in detail back in episodes number 21 and number 34. It's free, and you see the green squiggly Outer Limits-like line go across the screen as you speak. The student could try to visually match someone else's production of a sentence spoken aloud into the program. Someone could record the passage into track 1. Then that track could be muted, and right below it, the student could record on track 2, using the visualization on track 1 as a guide. The student can try and match the production based on the Outer Limits type line they see in track 1. As an incentive at the end, the student can add effects like altering pitch and echo to hear how funny they might sound. Of course, David was asking in reference to a student with a hearing impairment, so the severity of the impairment might impact whether or not special effects on a voice would be a motivator.
But for other students, hearing their voice sound like this might be funny.
Pam writes in to say, wow, I've listened to several of your podcasts and you're a natural. They are informative and very easy to listen to and understand. Please take a look at this Facebook page on Classroom Acoustics. You may be interested. And Pam has included the link here, which I shortened to be tinyurl.com/facecac or tinyurl.com/facecac. And don't worry, I'll have a link to that up at the blog, attipscast.wordpress.com. Yes, the Classroom Acoustics Coalition on Facebook. The focus of this Facebook group is to bring about awareness about acoustics in the classroom. The group posts information, resources, and research about acoustics. Whenever I hear classroom acoustics, the first thing that immediately pops into my head are methods for increasing the signal-to-noise ratio in classrooms. What? Ratios? Did we just get teleported into math class? No. Well, kind of. The signal is the sound you want to hear, like the teacher talking or another student talking or, like in the case of this podcast, my voice. The noise is the background noise that you need to tune out. It might be easier to think of signal and noise as two enemies on a battlefield.
Are you ready for a war? Yeah!
The signal is the good guys, and the noise, that's the bad guys. They're fighting for control over a listener's brain. Generally, the louder the noise, the harder it is to focus on the signal. The softer the noise, the easier it is to focus on the signal. That's actually a bit of an oversimplification, as there are other factors that might influence the battle as well, like attention, the message in the signal, the frequency of the signal, and more. But let's just keep it simple and talk about these two armies fighting for control.
Where are you going?
I'm going to pick a fight.
If you think that you want the signal to come out on top, then that goes on the top of the fraction. Remember, it's a ratio. Likewise, if you want the background to be the side that loses, then you want that down on the bottom of the fraction. Now, if you measure the signal and noise in decibels and divide, you come up with a number. That number is the signal-to-noise ratio. Simply put, increasing the signal-to-noise ratio for students usually makes it easier for them to hear the signal. One simple way to increase the signal-to-noise ratio for a particular student is to move the student closer to the source of the signal and further from the source of the noise. So, let's say the bulk of the noise in a room is coming from an air conditioner, and the most important signal in a room is coming from the teacher. A simple accommodation to increase the signal-to-noise ratio, and thereby making it easier for that student to hear the teacher, is to move the student closer to the teacher. I know that might sound simple, but sometimes people overlook the obvious. For more research, insights, and strategies to improve classroom acoustics for one or for all in a class, check out the Classroom Acoustic Coalition on Facebook, which I'm calling AT Tip Number 64. I'll have a link to it up on the blog, attipscast.wordpress.com. Barry writes in via Facebook to say, "Chris, I watched all the videos yesterday," referring to videos from the website tinyurl.com/lcpsatvideos. Again, that's tinyurl.com/lcpsatvideos. "And they were freaking fantastic. The pacing board one is right out of a George Lucas film. What software are you using to make the videos? I think you should apply for the next Marvel comic movie, which I heard is going to be The Avengers with Captain America. Not my all-time favorite comic book, mind you, but I'd like to see what they can do with that one." Hey there, Barry. I'm using a hodgepodge of different video editing software to create the videos. For some of the more special effect heavy productions, I use Adobe Premiere Pro. But let's talk video production for a minute. Recently, I found an easy-to-use method of video production that I think is perfect for students to use as an alternative method of expression, or a teacher could use as an alternative method of representing material. AT Tip Number 65 is OneTrueMedia.com. This website allows you to quickly upload pictures and videos, MPEGs, MP4s, MOVs, AVIs, WMVs, JPEGs, and more, and then select from a number of free montage styles and music to create a nicely polished, professional-looking, special effect-ridden video. Once finished, the website generates a URL for your video that can be shared. The website is easy to use and would allow students to be able to create flashy presentations above and beyond just a simple slideshow. Plus, there's nothing to install. All the controls and design occur right there on the website, all for free. The only downside is that only some of the montages and music is free. For access to the complete library, you need to become a premium member and pay a fee. Also, to export the video into another file format, you need to be a premium member. Unless, of course, you use some other sort of screen capturing website, screentoaster.com. Excuse me, I had a little bit of my breakfast stuck there in my throat. Oh, and a total separate note, not related to AT Tip Number 65 at all, check out AT Tip Number 66, screentoaster.com. Screentoaster.com allows you to capture a video of whatever's happening on your screen. You can export videos as SWF files, which are like flash files, and MOV files, which means you can save the videos right down to your computer. You can choose to record the entire screen or record a rectangular area of the screen, like a video player from another website. You know, a website that doesn't let you export videos.
Chris?
Yeah, bud?
People can't see you winking like that.
Oh, right. Right. ScreenToaster.com is a great way to capture and share what a student has done on a computer. Also, it's a great way to capture any lesson done on the computer. Or, a student could capture the work they've done on a home computer to share back with a teacher. It's great for making short video tutorials providing directions on how to do something on the computer. Students could watch these videos over and over again as a way to have instructions repeated as many times as necessary. Finally, Barry, let me say that I think Matthew Fox should play Captain America in the movie. He's shown that he can play a leader in Lost, and he can pull off a cowl in Speed Racer. Some might say he's a little too old for the role, but I think he'd be perfect. And, sadly, I have not been approached to direct. Well, guess what, everybody? I still have even more listener feedback that I think would be good to share. But it's going to have to wait for future episodes because I'm running out of time on this one. I've actually got some other goodies planned for future episodes, so we'll see when I get to that next listener feedback episode. Drop me a line with questions, comments, or concerns at attipscast@gmail.com. Who knows? Your comments might make it into that feedback episode. Also, let me invite you to follow me on Twitter at twitter.com/attipscast. Remember, you can join the AT Tippers group on Facebook or Classroom 2.0 to get updates about the show and interact with other listeners of the show. Also, since the last episode, the Assistive Technology Industry Association had their conference in Chicago, and due to a last-minute change of plans, I was lucky enough to be able to attend. So, stay tuned to hear some bumpers from people I met who were nice enough to want to participate in the podcast. I got to meet a few people like Patrick Black from teachingall.blogspot.com, who previously I'd only met virtually. It was great to hang out, collaborate, and compare stories and strategies. Now I'm even more excited about ATIA 2010 coming up in January, but that one's down in Orlando. Finally, I'd like to thank Lisa Givens from Fairfax County Public Schools for that awesome endorsement that I played at the beginning of the episode. Thanks for listening, Lisa, and thanks for letting me grab that bumper from you back at NEC 09. So, until next time, may all your interventions be inclusive, and may all your strategies be supportive.